All right, thank you so much. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised up from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good message we've just heard. And Father, we do pray tonight that we might be confident that our walk is based upon relationship with you, and not externals that we might pronounce, that we might literally be good soldiers of the cross and carry forth the message. The things that we've learned, we commit to others, and it would continue on that we might win the lost around the world. So have your way now as we look at the things you've laid on my heart here during the preaching even, and speak to our hearts through your word. Be honored, glorified, and lifted up tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think I'll just use Brother Brett's message as a springboard and talk to us tonight about being good soldiers of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this, that God has called us to serve Him and to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we have a mission conference. I want to say this again, and I mean this deeply, deeply within my soul tonight. I'm not here to fill a calendar. This is not something else to do. I feel deeply about reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you tonight, that God wants us to be good soldiers of the cross and get out the message. That's why He said, commit these things to others, and that they might be able to continue giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about, for just a few more minutes, being a good soldier of the cross. First of all, may I give you the assignment that God gives us here in the text. He assigns us, he says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness, he says, as a good soldier. The assignment is to be a good soldier of the cross. Now, we understand tonight that we are in a battle, that we are fighting a battle every day in a very dark world. Amen? Can I say this to you tonight, though? As I travel around, I get really frustrated at churches that are moaning and groaning because of the darkness, because, my friends, within us is the light of the world. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have the authority tonight to be the light. Jesus is the light, but He has said, ye are the light of the world. Go into the world. Give out the light. Let them see your light. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so he's assigned us to be good soldiers. The first thing about this soldier is that we are God's. We are God's soldier. Look at chapter 2 there and verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that we have tonight allows us to be saved by grace and become children of God, beloved. Oh, he said, listen, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are His. We are God's tonight. You know what? I think that it almost goes without being said tonight that most of us would not dare to try to carry the gospel into this world in our own energy and in our own power, but God has called us. We are His soldiers. We are God's tonight. But not only are we God's, but look back in chapter 2 again and verse number 1 there. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so we're not only God's, but God has given us grace to be the soldiers that we ought to be. I can tell you tonight, I would not begin to endeavor to serve God without knowing that I have His help, His grace to serve Him in my life. Can I tell you this tonight? That I'm glad for the day that I became acquainted with the grace of God. I was saved at the age of 6, and I thank God that I'm saved by grace. But I'm grateful tonight that God's grace extends beyond salvation, and that as we humble ourselves before Him to be a good soldier of the cross, He giveth more grace to the humble. Amen. He gives us grace to carry on all that we do. I love this definition of grace, that grace is really God's divine intervention in our life, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I say to you tonight, as a soldier, I am God's. As a soldier, I have His grace. And as a soldier, God expects me to be good at what I do. Now, I want to just tell you this. I played baseball as a young man. I actually started playing what they call in Indiana minor league at age 8, and then little league, and then high school baseball. And I worked. I worked diligently to be the very best at what I did. 4 times Indiana state all-star catcher, and had an opportunity to try out for professional baseball. At the same time, God was dealing with my heart. But the discipline of that taught me a lesson that God wants no less of our discipline, no less of our discipline than we would give to any endeavor in this world. Amen? We are to give ourselves wholly and totally to the Lord. I love the story of Hezekiah doing that which was good and right in the sight of God and doing it with all of his heart. Amen? Being good at what he did. And so our assignment is to be good soldiers of the cross. I hope tonight you understand, dear friend, that you are God's. Amen? And that you have His grace shed abroad in your heart. And it has given us spiritual liberty. Not liberty to sin, but liberty from sin. I laugh. I showed my wife as we came down the boulevard tonight and passed Grace and found Liberty. Amen. And turned on to Liberty here. And I said to my wife, that's just how it is. The grace of God has brought liberty in our life. Liberty from sin. Liberty that allows us to escape the corruption that is in this world and to be better soldiers of the cross every day. I think what Brother Brett said is we must not settle in. We must not be comfortable in our walk. We must always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And if we're going to reach this world for Christ, we need to be good soldiers. Amen? That is our assignment. But I want to also look here about the good soldiers, not only at the assignment, but at the attitude of a soldier. Notice in verse number 4, He said, no man that warreth, and we know that we're at war. We know that there's a war in the darkness of this world, the prince and the power of the air, spiritual wickedness in high places. We understand. Listen, this isn't just a battle against the flesh. If it was just the flesh, we could deal with that more easily. Amen. I remember when I was just a young guy, we had a kid, a bully, across the street. He was about twice my size. His name was Eddie. And Eddie liked to beat up on the neighborhood kids. And I saw him do that a lot. And I determined in my heart that I wasn't going to be one of his victims. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, Mom says we can't fight, but I'm not going to just stand still and let Eddie beat me up. And my dad said, oh, son, I think you misunderstood. Mom is saying, don't you start the fight. But he said, if they start the fight, I want you to finish it. Amen. And he said, let me just tell you, there needs to be an equalizer. And I was really good with a baseball bat. Eddie came one day for me to be his next victim. And I grabbed that baseball bat and I said, you just come right on. And Eddie went squalling home because I had an equalizer. And I want to tell you, when I got saved, I got the equalizer of God's grace. Amen. And I don't have to walk in fear. I can grow in grace and I can have the help of God in my life. And if I allow Him to, I can walk in that power knowing that I can escape the corruption of this world, and that as I am in this battle, that my attitude is that I know there's a battle out there. And yet, though there is a battle out there, I know that I can endure whatever I need to endure. Listen, church, we must understand God is able in our lives. Amen. I know this word endure means so much different things to different people, but to illustrate it, I remember years ago, I was sitting in the parking lot of our church in Tampa, Westgate Baptist Church of Tampa, Florida, and I was getting ready to pull out of my parking spot when one of our teachers, a lady by the name of Mrs. Lucky, pulled up beside me and rolled her window down. I rolled the passenger's window down, and I could see that she was weeping, and I said to her, Miss Paula, what's wrong? And she said, oh, preacher. And when she said, oh, preacher, I knew what it was. Her son was Sergeant Brian Lucky. He was in Iraq. He was a sergeant in the army. And I knew immediately that he had perished. And she began to tell me the story, how he had received a sniper bullet in the back of the head. And so she said to me, preacher, you know, it's a hard thing to go through this. And I said, listen, I understand. I'll meet you at the house. And the army was coming to give details to get to my hotel, and I have no ride. He said, would you please give me a ride to the hotel? And I said, sir, I'd be honored to take you to your hotel. We got in the car, and I looked right in his face, and I said, Sergeant, forgive me, but I can see you're badly burned and your body is broken, and I have to ask you a question. Why in the world are you still doing this? Why didn't you have someone else come and escort this body? He looked at me almost angrily, and he said to me, Pastor, you must understand this. He said, I have to do this. I said, yes, but why? He said, I have to do this because the battle is not over. It is not over. I went back to our church and I said, we, church, we must endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross. We must have that attitude that nothing is going to prevent us from doing what God has called us to do. Why? Because the battle is not over. The job that God has given us is still here for us to do, amen, until He calls us home. So He said that the attitude involves enduring. And then there's another word here that affects our attitude. He says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. Can I don't have time to develop this, but look at me just a second. I get so burdened about how much our how deeply, let me put it that way, our churches have entrenched themselves in the world. And I hear this all the time. Oh, yes, but preacher, you know, there's still a great distance between the world and us. I get that. I get that the world is even crazier than it's ever been. But what I worry about as we have worked our way toward the world and the things of the world, even though there's distance between us and the world, the distance between us and God has gotten greater and deeper. And we need to be careful, as Brother Brett just warned us, that every day we ought to be seeking to be more like Jesus Christ and not having just a form of godliness, but real godliness. That godliness that Peter said we can have when he said, I have given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You can be exactly what you need to be. Listen, there's no excuse tonight for getting entangled in the world and being like the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? And so the assignment is to be good soldiers, and the attitude is to endure hardness and not to be entangled in the world. And then lastly tonight, I want you to notice concerning these soldiers that we ought to have an aim, a goal in our life. What is that goal? Look at verse 5. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive how? Lawfully. I think right on Brother Brett's message again, that what we need to be is not what pretense makes us, but that we are righteous and godly in our life. I'm not talking about petty differences of rules. I'm not talking about checking boxes. I'm talking about making sure our heart is in tune with the heart of God. Amen? And I'll say this, if that happens inwardly, God will take care of us outwardly. Things will be right on the outside. Our aim needs to be to strive lawfully. Turn with me very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at this, please. Look at verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Oh, listen, we're looking for mastery here. And every man, verse 25, that striveth for the mastery is temperate. In other words, he keeps himself under control. He keeps his life right with God. I want to say this to you. Look up here just a second. We cannot preach to this world that they need Christ unless they can see Christ in us has done something to us and for us. Amen? He said, listen, we need to be temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you know what? Can I just say this tonight? I know many people who are sidetracked somewhere outside of church in Washington or Indiana or Arkansas or Budapest, Hungary, or Moscow, Russia, because of the corrupt life of someone who professed to be a Christian. But their life said one thing, their lips said one thing, but their life said another. In by way of illustration, I moved to Boston in 1974. I don't know exactly what year it was, but shortly afterwards, in the ladies' marathon, the Boston Marathon for the ladies, there was a record time set by a lady by the name of Rosie. And I remember on the news, all of the flurry of excitement, a brand new women's record has been set by this lady. It is a phenomenal feat. And they went on and on and on. And as she crossed the line, they put that crown on her head. And she appeared to have done something that no other woman had ever done. Until somebody came forward with video evidence that part of the way along the route, Rosie had jumped on a bus. And she had gone a few miles on the bus and then jumped off and finished the race and appeared to have a new world record, Boston Marathon record, and appeared to have done something no other woman could ever do. But the prize was taken away because she did not strive lawfully. And I want to say to you, we might judge each other inappropriately, I might say, not knowing the real condition of the heart. But there will come a day, my friend, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will judge each and every one of us. And the real truth about who we were and what we did for Christ will be revealed. Amen? And I just tell you this. When that day comes, I wish to hear my Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were a good soldier of the cross. You endured hardness. You did not entangle yourself in the things of the world. And your aim was to have mastery in your own life." My desire tonight is to preach till I have no breath left across America. Let us live in such a way that Christ can be seen in us and people can know that Jesus really can change us and make us new creatures. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please?